Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello everyone, welcome to Red Men Radio. It's us, it's me, Paul Machen, and that's Chris Paycheck over there.
I'm a little disappointed that this is our 86th and not 96th, because, you know, the 96th minute just after the derby would have been perfect.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I'll have to just
talk loads about the derby.
It'll be fine. As long as we get to talk about Divock Origi for a good 15 to 20 minutes, I'll be sound.
Yeah, absolutely. Funny you should mention the Merseyside derby, Chris, because, you know, there was a common thread running through a number of the questions and topics and what have you this week, both this and in the Q&A to follow as well. We're going to be talking about, obviously, the derby. We're going to be talking about Burnley as well, and then we'll see how we get on. We might touch upon Bournemouth ahead of the weekend as well. But the kickoff question this week comes from Pietro Marano. It says, and I'm not sure what sparked this question particularly, Chris, but he asks, should managers be punished for celebrating goals? I personally don't think so. They've worked towards that goal as much as players do. Listen, I loved seeing that video of Jurgen Klopp bombing onto the pitch.
I love seeing it the 776 times that I've actually seen it.
I've seen it from every angle possible. It's tremendous.
I love it with Carragher's commentary. Look at Jurgen Klopp. That's all he's saying. Look at Jurgen Klopp.
He's great. I thoroughly enjoyed it. We said on the final word show and what have you to that game. I didn't see it at the time. I was too lost in trying to not get barreled down 12 rows of the cop. And I was looking predominantly at the players celebrating in front, which was just amazing. All that being said, look, Klopp, and we'll you know, it'll lead us into our news in brief, of course, but, you know, Klopp has been charged with misconduct for this. Mm-hmm. Fair play. Like, fine. You know, I've got no problem with him being charged with misconduct for that, because he has broken the rules by entering the field of play, whether the ball's in play or not. Just to answer the question, I don't think managers should be punished for celebrating goals.
No. If it's in the technical area, you do what you want. Like, get up if you want and give it the absolute beans.
Yeah, give it the pifters. Like, give it the absolute.
Just stay in your technical area. Yeah. And look, I love that. That's one of the greatest things that I've seen. I didn't actually see it live as well, so to see it after the game, it added something to it for me. I enjoyed being able to watch it back, because I was like, I was in a melee, didn't see Jurgen Klopp running in. But to be able to come out and get some extra enjoyment, like, I needed any extra, it was just a little cherry on top for me. But you look at it and you think, yeah, that's mad. And I saw that Pep Guardiola did it last season, which was at the Southampton game. Sounds, you know what, he didn't get charged. It's not a fix.
I mean,
there's no need to be bitter about it. There literally isn't.
Let's stop being fucking grasses. Like, yeah, you exactly. Mean those people dragging Guardiola videos up. Just get in the bin. Who gives a fuck?
No one.
Who gives a fuck? And, like, I get it. Like, you know, and this is what social media exists for. And I think there's a tit for tat culture. Fine. You know, it's like the people who found the video of the Man City fans smashing up a bus themselves. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the irony, but the Guardiola thing's not relevant to that. I get that there's the new banter culture exists between Liverpool and Man City.
Yeah, I love the fact that our manager can't control himself sometimes.
Yeah.
That in and of itself, if he'd done it on purpose, then yeah, fair enough. Like, and if he's done it regularly, fair enough. I think maybe a warning probably would have been fine for this, because it's not something that he's done all the time. Although that tit for tat culture has actually brought up him doing it for Mines. Did you see the tweet Mines put out?
When he
literally stacked it, trying to run around to join the celebrations. That's fine. If he wanted to do that, stay off the field of play, sound. I'm just happy that our manager doesn't really give a shit and gets lost in the moment.
Yeah.
Because for all the tactical acumen that he's got, he's an emotional football fan and manager, and that is what I love about Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah, that's it. Like, and there's a lot of managers have weighed in on it and what have you, and I've talked about the past. I think from what I can see, and obviously there is a bubble effect here, that by and large, I don't think people are that arsed. I think the people who are arsed are minge bags, basically, you know, and the people who are looking for something to complain about. And like we said this in quite long form on the Final Word Show on the website. But if Sky choose to do what they're meant to do, and that's focus on the players celebrating, and then that video comes out, one camera's got it, or someone's got it from the stands, then that becomes an amazing thing. But it was such an integral part of the coverage. It was the coverage. There was a 10-second period of the official coverage of that game, and it's nothing but Jurgen Klopp on the pitch. And that's why, ultimately, I don't know, because, again, who gives a shit? But like the Guardiola thing, I don't know that that was... You know what I mean? Was that focused on at the time, etc.
I don't remember. Exactly. It doesn't matter. Jurgen Klopp there has created the greatest one man pitch invasion you've ever seen. Now, pitch invasions are cool, like in pre-season and stuff, and they're cool if you win something and all that. Like, but one fella running onto the pitch never really bothers me until Sunday, and then it was like a one man pitch invasion. It works.
There was so much going on around there, and you know that I referenced it. I can't remember where the other week, that painting that was commissioned, and it was like it had like Henson, all the great Liverpool players in the changing rooms and what have you. I want a painting commissioned of Liverpool's bench, because there's so much happening there.
Oh, Shaqiri in the coat.
Do you remember those old WWF figures? And they had like one move they could do.
Yeah,
so there was one with the arms went up. Hulk Hogan had one, his arms went up here, and he had a power slam thing. Shaqiri did that with a coat, and it looked like a monumental effort to get it up.
It was magic. To get it over the chair in front was like him doing the high jump.
It was a bit like ants, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, watching watching that.
If it had a set of keys in the pocket, I can understand why it looked so difficult. that was mental, wasn't
and
it?
And you've got Linders screaming for it, and just people hugging kissing.
After Klopp comes back onto the sidelines, you know, you see the Jurgen Klopp hug with Pep Linders, but it's no normal Jurgen Klopp hug, is it? It's a mid-air Jurgen Klopp. Has anybody else ever had a mid-air Jurgen Klopp hug before? Because he goes straight to Achterberg. Right before.
Really moments, and much more famously earlier.
He goes straight to Achterberg afterwards. Does he give him an off-the-floor Jurgen Klopp club? No, he just gets a normal hug.
Yeah.
Poor John Achterberg. To be fair, John's knees probably don't allow him to jump
in
the air.
No, of course not.
It's anything like, judged by how he runs onto a field to train.
In a wrestling sense, you know, you've got to help people with the moves, haven't you? Like an Allison's up. Allison's outleaped Klopp, to be fair. The Linders thing, it almost goes full Time of Your Life lift. Dirty Dancing lift on Linders.
Have you seen the Klopp one with the Baywatch theme music as he runs over?
Genuinely incredible.
The American Beauty one?
Yeah, incredible.
Class.
Absolutely incredible. We were talking about this.
This is the good side of social media, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
You know, it's not banter; it's just hilarious.
Yeah, I tell you what. While we're in it, we'll switch it around. We'll come to news and brief in a minute. Let's continue with the Everton stuff. I was just saying in the office then, the how balmy it is that goal, that freak goal, and what it does in terms of everything, absolutely everything after it. Because so many, you know, you don't have Klopp running on the pitch. So you don't have millions and millions and millions of views that get seen of that clip. So, you know, the Soccer AM clips, I think it's had 4 million views or something now. Sky Sports official, LFC TV have put their own video out of it that's had hundreds of thousands, probably millions at this point. And again, the stuff that we do, no one gives a fuck about a 0-0 draw. Ever. Doesn't matter who you're playing. No one gives a fuck about it. The spirit of positivity that's come out of the Liverpool fan base that would have just been a bit flat off the back of it. That goal has just created... It's just a massive storm of... Yeah, it's a bit of a shitstorm from, again, other fans and mingebags doing a little bit, but we shouldn't be too arsed about them. What it's done for our fans is it's just given us a massive shot in the arm, and... there's still people out there who are going to make a debate about how Liverpool played and needing that win, and the fact that we haven't yet really been at it so far this season. And that, so if you really want to delve into it, Chris, the analysis is there, and you can say Liverpool do need to get a bit better on the pitch and better at winning games in 90 minutes, saying it from a team that's undefeated in the league so far this season. But right now, you're supposed to revel in this. You're supposed to marvel in it, and you know, you're supposed to hold that goal up like a fucking Simba at the start of The Lion King and be like, look at what Divock Origi has done. Look upon it. Marvel upon it. This is what being a football fan is all about.
And that's it, isn't it? I mean, people want to celebrate when you've won trophies, but it's these type of moments that allow the pessimist to be able to enjoy the journey at the same time, isn't it? We talk about it a lot, enjoying the journey and stuff. And if you can't, like, I mean, that is the best derby win that I can remember, bar none. You know what I mean? Because it was so late, because of everything around it, because they celebrated the 0-0 draw by throwing a flare onto
the
pitch.
Have you seen the clip of that?
Yeah.
From 90 minutes?
Yeah. It goes over his head.
The lad's vlogging. He couldn't be holding the phone any lower, by the way. I'm wondering whether he had his GoPro attached to his cock. And it's shooting up.
Yeah, I'm not going to say.
Yeah, easy. He's shooting up. And yeah, you just see the flare go over his head, and then
it's magical.
The goal goes
It's magical. Oh. I mean, it's up there with the West Ham one when they were still celebrating and it goes in the bubbles and all that type of stuff. I mean, that is fantastic.
Yeah,
fantastic TV, isn't it? But I look at it and I think to myself, I watched the game back last night when I was planning the stats and tactics show, Paul, and as good as Everton were, they didn't deserve a draw. They didn't deserve a draw in that game of football.
Okay.
If everybody put the big chances away, we'd have won that 5-2.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
We missed five big chances, they missed two big chances. Now, they had good chances and we had good chances, but we had the better of them.
Yeah.
Now, maybe it was in part for everyone feeling just a smidgen sorry for Everton on it, but they've been overstated how good they were.
Okay.
They were good. Don't get me wrong. Liverpool were better and deserved to win the game of football.
And I think maybe let's just say the surprising nature of how good they were. Not surprising if you've paid attention to them this season. But Everton were dog shit last year.
Yeah.
Everton had Sam Allardyce in charge for those two Anfield derbies, the draw, and then we go and win late in the FA Cup as well. They were close because we couldn't break them down and we didn't cause them enough problems, and ultimately close because of a dodgy dive by Dominic Calvert-Lewin for a penalty. They went at us and they gave us a game, so they were a good side. You know, if Leicester had played like that at Anfield, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, and I'd be giving them credit for creating chances. Everton are where they deserve to be in the league. If they go higher than that, hey. Absolutely amazing. I'm not saying that's not outside.
If they had a striker, they might do.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and Richarlison was moved somewhere else. Yeah. Like, that's probably, I think Ped said that. I was on the radio with him on Sunday afternoon, Radio 5 Live with him. And, you know, very insightful from Ped. He said, where are you going to finish? And he said, I think we'll finish sixth. I think we could finish fifth. I think we would finish fifth if we had strikers, but the difference is Arsenal have got Aubameyang and Lacazette.
Yeah.
And they've got Richarlison and Tosin.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right, and that's the difference right now.
I said to them last week, if you could take Lukaku back, you'd be flying, because that's the difference.
And also take him back 2 years.
Well, yeah, take him back and, you know, make him jog back just to see if that helps on the way.
A few times back and forth.
Yeah, absolutely. Because he's porky these days, isn't he? But dead right. The goal scoring thing is always what limits football teams, and that's why maybe. If Chelsea fall short again this season, they'll go big in the summer, I think. They'll go, like, because they did it in 13-14, where they had a who's who of not quite good enough centre forwards in like Torres and Sam Eto'o. And
they can afford Denver to spend the money and find the guy. Whereas if Liverpool make a mistake like that or Everton make a mistake like that, you kind of. It's not as easy to cut your losses on a player that's so
over,
big.
It's easy to just go and buy the right player when you've got money to spend, yeah, isn't it? Like, right. And Everton had that with Lukaku, and unfortunately they just weren't able to put the full package around. If they could rewind, somehow, it's not possible. If you could take peak their Lukaku and put it in that side, they'd be bang up there. They would be saying just fourth. Why not more? Because they've got a good goalkeeper. You know, heroics, Liverpoolian heroics notwithstanding. they've got three good centre halves, and you know, Phil Jagiel could be in there. It's not a bad thing to have him still around the club. They've got one of the best right backs in the league. Like, Lucas Digne is a fantastic left back, and they've still got Leighton Baines there as well. They've got a glut of more than capable centre midfielders. They've got pace out wide. They've got young youth out wide.
And importantly,
as well,
Paul, they've got time. Mm-hmm. You know, Marco Silva's got time to develop this squad. So they're in a good position. It just happens that it's miles behind us.
And what I like is how this bullishness from them that they're going to smash us in March now because they gave us a reasonable game.
Well, the mayor of Liverpool said that that's half time.
Do we know that? It was Joe Anderson hacked or something?
Nah,
that?
Because, you know, if you were hacking him, you'd probably attempt to spell words right. You know, I counted at least three tweets there where he's misspelled words.
Well, that's why I mean, that's why I thought this can't possibly, the mayor of Liverpool can't possibly be trying.
Well, you
to
think he
Liverpool
probably doesn't write
up
his own letters normally, does he? So he's got someone to correct these typos for him. When it's his actual Twitter feed, it's him doing it. He's not got a social media guy.
Just for context, because there'll be people obviously who aren't really aware of who Joe Anderson is, but he is the mayor of Liverpool, and he is an Evertonian, and
he's massive.
And he's a big fat fella with a bald head.
Him and Bisto Tits Allardyce got on really well. And he's the original, you know, chippy tits.
The original chippy tits. And he just released a stream of abusive tweets about Liverpool and Liverpool fans. So, again, I don't know how, and I'm amazed.
Did you see the stuff about Norwegian Liverpool fans?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, blah, blah, blah. They didn't see that because they lit up the Liver Bird blue for a few hours, the Liver Building blue for a few hours.
It's owned by
Machiri, yeah. So they did that. Like, I think it was the Saturday before the derby or something. It was great. They had a few hours in the sun, didn't they, really? Mm. And then we put them back in the place on Sunday, and you know, the city is red for want of a terrible
crazy stuff.
But he was talking about like, oh, they'll have only seen it on the way back to JLA. I am not being funny, mayor of Liverpool, right? But they, like, fans of Liverpool from all around the world bring in a ridiculous amount of money into our city. Don't be pissing them off because you're not very good at your job anyway, bud. Yeah. You can't type and now you're turning money away. You're an absolute prick.
Liverpool City Council is financially on its absolute arse. The city of Liverpool is fucked. There's been money getting cut from left, right and centre from things like culture and sports, all these things that are actually at the absolute heart of what makes Liverpool Liverpool. You know, like that creative heart of Liverpool has had fuck all. From a governmental perspective, people coming, tourism, people coming to the city, and he's taking the piss. And also the idea that you can see that side of the live, you can see the Liver buildings from on your way to the airport, is a baffling claim to be perfect. Geographically speaking,
well, maybe taxi drivers just dive him off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he's just driving around in a circle because he doesn't know the city very well.
Well, he can't spell, so it wouldn't surprise me if he had no sense of direction as well. The absolute fucking
knows where the fucking chippy is, though, doesn't he?
Doesn't he? Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. He smothers himself in lard.
He's got his...
starts tweeting absolute shite.
Oh, this is like the episode from The Simpsons where Homer starts, like, farming lard out of the school or something like that, does he?
That sounds like an episode of The Simpsons.
Yeah, I reckon that is based on our old mayor.
Yeah. right. Yeah, all good. But anyway, yeah, look, Everton are fine. And what I like even more about this case is this primes the Goodison Derby so wonderfully because, to Barry Toffee TV, can't wait, literally cannot wait to have yous in March. I didn't know when the next derby was, by the way. They've all gone home and gone, right, we're winning the next one. When is it? First thing they've all done is gone, right, we've lost that, but when's the next chance? Great. When's the next chance for us to fucking batty us again? Like, you know what I mean? Because, and look, they'll give us a good game because they're a good team and they'll be loads better. And, you know, hopefully Liverpool...
We'll be champions elect by then, hopefully.
Yeah. Hopefully, we're in the midst of a good knockout run in the Champions League, which might have an impact because if they think we're going to play at Goodison like we did last season, which might be another contributing factor, when we played Ragnar Klavan at left-back, Danny Ings up front. I like the notion that they're going to go into that game thinking, this is it, we're ready. We're ready to go. This is our time. This is our destiny. And we just do what we've been doing to them for yonks. And just beat them. It's great.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing.
And can we just do a big thank you to Jordan Pickford?
Thank you
so much, Jordan Pickford. You absolutely...
Do Everton fans have advent calendars for the derby? Like, they open up something up every morning and count the days off to the next one.
You know, you can get those Kraft Ale advent calendars, they just got like a fucking... A box of bitter.
Special brew.
Yeah, just got 24 cans of bitter and they just open one every day and drink away their misery. I can only presume. So, like...
That'll explain PED.
No, it wouldn't. Right, let's get into the news in brief then. As you mentioned, Jürgen Klopp charged with misconduct by the FA after running on the pitch. He's got until Thursday to respond to that. Liverpool Echo did a little bit.
What do you think he's going to say? No. I didn't run onto the pitch.
Wasn't me.
Wasn't me.
Sol Bamba saying they didn't take a shirt off in celebration.
Maybe that's why we've got the coach that looks like him. Maybe he's going to be the foreman.
He's let his hair grow out a bit too much, hasn't he? And he's also 2 foot too small. But yeah, put him on some stilts and send him in.
But can you prove it was me?
Literally 14 cameras. Seen by 200 million people around the world. We'll see what comes.
You wouldn't be able to find the jury though, would you? Because everyone's seen it.
That's a good point.
He accepted the fine, by the way. It was £8,000.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow. The FA should give that to a Sean Cox fund or something like the Fan Sport and Food Banks or something, if they were any good.
Cool, £8,000 fine. Made up with that if that's the case.
No ban.
No, he was never likely to get a ban for that, was he? So, boss. Liverpool have drawn Wolves away in the FA Cup.
exactly that noise. It could have been a lot easier, to be honest.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if we just got, like, you know what, like, teams get, and we have it in the past.
Rotherham,
and we had Mansfield years ago, I remember that, and Suarez had to... And ball to get us through. Great, broke the heart of the rather wonderful looking chairman. Wolves away, not what I'm looking for in the FA Cup, Chris, if I'm perfectly honest. Wolves at home, slightly more preferable. Obviously, we'll get a bit of a measure of them in a couple of weeks' time.
That's the thing. They're still an unknown quantity to me at the moment. You know, I've not watched the 90-minute game of them, other than maybe the City one. I think I watched actually when they drew with City. Other than that, I've not watched. I've only seen Match of the Day highlights. So. It's a game that fills me a little bit with trepidation.
Yeah.
It's also at a time of the year when it can work both ways for you, can't it? You. What's the date on the third round of the cup again?
It's the first weekend in January. I think it's like the third, fourth, or something like that.
So it's difficult because right now,
obviously, coming off the back of the Man City game at that point. And
more importantly, about fucking 17 games in about 6 days.
The 5th, 6th. So, yeah, we play Man City on the... At the minute, we play Man City on the Thursday, the 3rd, and then Wolves on the Saturday, the 5th.
So the difficulty for me with this is you're at the end of a very long run. Now, ordinarily, and we've spoken about this a few times, those sides with smaller squads are in the same boat as you for once, aren't they? Because, you know, it is all league games. So... In one way, it'll be a good time to play Wolves because their squad will be stretched really, really thin.
Yeah.
But also, if we're fighting for the title, you might want to heavily rotate in that game.
Yeah.
And the Premier League, if you're still 2 points behind Man City or you're there or thereabouts with them, that has got to take precedence over a third round of a cup. Now, maybe a little bit different if it's a semi-final of a cup competition. But at the third round stage, a lot of things can happen and hopefully we'll be looking forward to Champions League football as well the next month.
Yeah.
So you're looking at it when that... I hate saying this, but right now I don't give a shit about the FA Cup.
No,
I've got one thing on my mind and that's it.
Listen, I'd say this right now, Chris. I would, and we get asked the question about it on the Q&A. We will be getting asked the question about it on the Q&A later, but you know we'll do more on it in isolation. But look at here's where the fixtures are. So weekend of Saturday the 5th of January, so 2 days after Man City. Pardon me. The fourth round is the weekend of the 26th of January, which is I'm going to get the calendar up while I do this. Which is an isolated week, which is quite good because that's a specific FA Cup week. So we play the week before against Crystal Palace and then we play two games the week after. We play Wednesday against Leicester and blah, blah, blah. So that's not too bad.
Is that coming up to the winter break?
I don't fully understand how that fits in this way because the fifth round is the weekend of the 16th of February. So you've then got a bit of a break until the next round, and that's another weekend, a week in complete isolation for that game put aside. But the Champions League comes back at some point around then as well. Here's my thinking. Honestly, it will depend where we are. So if we are neck and neck and we beat Man City and we go top of the league.
Or level or a point behind.
Whatever. But even just from the sake of where we are right now, if it stays like it is, so we go to the Etihad and we win that game and we go ahead of them in the league, the FA Cup can get fucked as far as I'm concerned. I'd be putting the under 18s.
Even without Champions League, just out of interest.
If you gave me the choice right now, that we could stay within 2 points of Man City going into like the final, even just going into the final game of the season. But it came at the cost of all cup competitions this season. Yeah, the Champions League, I would fuck the Champions League off, and I would fuck the FA Cup off without a doubt. And that is maybe I could be accused of entitlement, or maybe I could be accused of whatever, or maybe you know,
I'd accuse you of having a burning desire for the Premier League trophy, and that is it.
Absolutely, because that's all it is right now. Because I've just looked at who we are and where we are right now, and I look at these fixtures and they're coming thick and fast. I think the Champions League is the thing that's going to hinder us, and that's why I want us to stay in it, because I love the Champions League. Don't get me wrong, the European ways have been horrendous this season so far, but it's part of the DNA of what we do. But if we're changing that DNA, which as it looks in terms of our style of play this season, that we're not going to be that side in Europe this season, provided we're still the side that's winning games in the Premier League. And no, I just don't think we're good enough to focus on, to compete. Because if we're good enough to win the league and win the Champions League double, then Man City would have done it last season.
Hmm.
Or they'd have done it in any one of the number of seasons. More English clubs would have done it with more money and deeper squads than we've got. I just think we are... this FA Cup is... it's third on the list of priorities of Liverpool's competitions, as far as I'm concerned. And Wolves is a good excuse... Having a Premier League side away from home is a good excuse to put out a second string team and go out. Mm. And I will never actively condone Liverpool losing games of football. So if we win, and we'll deal with it. But I won't be fucking crying at Liverpool getting knocked
out. Right now, and that's the thing, you know, it might all change in 2 months' time, or a month and a half's time when the game rolls around, to be fair. Like, and that's the thing, we're a month out from the game. And with you, Paul, I'm looking at it.
What you worked at the calendar.
I know, can you imagine? I was like 2 months around there. No way. Like, the fact is, the Premier League is what we all want as fans. I don't think anyone would accuse you of anything other than having a desire for that Premier League trophy.
Yeah.
And Jurgen Klopp, that's what he wants as well.
Let's look.
How many times did I say, Paul, that at the start of the season, we're set up for Europe? We're still better set up for Europe than the Premier League?
Turns out no.
No, nowhere near. No. Nowhere near right.
No. If the management team keeps coming back, if they think they're capable, fine, and they will. Liverpool will not actively
Our squad, our second strings, boss.
Yeah.
We're thinking of a second string as like young kids coming in. It's not. It's your Adam Lallanas. It's your Nathaniel Kleins. It's your Alberto Morenos. It's your Simon Mignolets. It's Matip and Lovren. You know, it's maybe Jordan Henderson.
Yeah.
Maybe it's James Milner.
If you're telling me.
Maybe it's Sturridge and Origi and Solanke. These aren't bad players.
No, and maybe that's it. It's so. Because that's the thing. The FA Cup isn't too much of a hindrance if you can survive January. But I don't know that right now, where it's so funny, because we've just taken a 96-minute game to keep us second, you know, not to keep us second, but ultimately to keep us that 2 points behind Man City. It feels like we're blowing out of our arse a little bit at the moment.
Is that a question for you then? Right. I can almost envisage a scenario whereby at the end of the season, legs start to fall off, you maybe pick up an injury. The FA Cup, if you play a second string, could be used to keep legs fit and fresh and, you know, in match fit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, there is an argument to say, actually, that could be really handy for you come the end of the year, because had Adam Lallana had a good cup run, for example, and he comes on in the Champions League final because of it, and he's got a few more minutes in his leg, does he play a little bit better? Who knows?
Yeah.
But you could almost see a scenario where that actually works out pretty well for us.
I know what you're saying. You're not necessarily wrong, because what we did was we rested in the league, didn't we, to be fresh for the Champions League.
But also, there's a pressure issue that you've got if you go out of the FA Cup. And how will the squad deal with it? And it, you know, you got one competition to focus on.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
The pressure is really high now with Manchester City winning games. If you've got no other outlets for that, that could become a real burden for the squad, or it could fire them onto something even better.
I think it becomes a burden for people who think that silverware is the absolute be-all and end-all. And Liverpool exists to win trophies in silverware. We do. Look, Liverpool are very good. You know, literally, there's a fucking European Cup there. There's a fucking the last league title we won is on the wall behind you, Chris. Figuratively. We're so far removed from winning the league that being in a title challenge for me, you know, even if it's not, there's no open top bus tour if Liverpool finish second. There's not. And nor should there be. Nor would we ever dream of there being. And social media will have an absolute field day with it, but social media can get a fuck. And again, pre-team virgins and their banter culture can get in the bin. We all know it's been 28 years. It's about to be 29 years without a league title for Liverpool. And in that time, we have challenged to the point, realistically challenged. You can say twice, but I only really count 13-14 because in 13-14, there was a Premier League trophy in Anfield waiting to be presented to us if the worst case thing happened to Man City and, you know, and the mad, unlikely thing happened. That's the only Premier League title challenge we've ever put together. I want us to do that again. And for me, yes, it might potentially put pressure on because of fucking absolute whoppers like Danny Mills. And I know I didn't see the full interview, so I apologise. I'm going to say John Toshak because the quote came out saying that he thinks Klopp needs to win trophies, otherwise he might be considering his future. All those arseholes can get in the bin as far as I'm concerned, because provided Liverpool are competitive, provided Liverpool run the league to the fucking last possible point and it's still possible, then that
everything else
the title will come or it won't, but it won't be your fault that the title's not come, basically, because you've done everything in your power. And I'm sorry, but an FA Cup does not make up for Liverpool not winning the league. It is just it's a fucking trinket, and I'm sorry. I love the FA Cup. The second trophy I ever saw Liverpool win with my own eyes. The first was the league, but I went, FA Cup final 92, one of the greatest experiences, earliest major Liverpool experiences, 2001, you know, fantastic day. I've seen us lose it. You know, it is bossed in its own way, the FA Cup, but look at Arsenal. Look at Arsenal over the last 5 years.
But did they win three or four FA Cups? It doesn't matter for now.
Who gives a fuck? What was the point of the FA Cup? They're just fired. At this point...
They're great to tally up. That's what they're good for. The tally up trophies at the moment.
In this point in Liverpool's history, Chris, that all the FA Cup is that. It's just a year to add to a list of years. It doesn't make us a more prestigious football club. It doesn't. the only trophies that Liverpool needs to get back in the habit of winning European trophies and the league.
And only one European trophy, by the way.
Yeah, and look, again,
I'd have loved the Europa League.
Yeah.
But really,
I rank the Europa League above the FA Cup because it's more historic, but it's more prestigious on the continent, and it's the kind of thing that attracts players, etc. It's got a greater value to it than the FA Cup, and it gets you in the Champions League as well. Yeah, it's tough because look, if this was Footy Manager or this was a game, and if it is humanly possible for Liverpool to compete on all three fronts, then fuck it, lads, let's go and win the treble. Let's do it. I'm not going to say fuck them just out of spite or because I think they're shit trophies. It's not the case at all. It's my opinion, and it is my opinion only. Is that I feel in my heart of hearts that Liverpool aren't good enough to put a challenge all the way to the end of the season. Read Paul Tompkins' stuff lately. He's done a lot on this, that Champions League runs cost you points domestically. And just added games, you're always going to have to place a focus. We will have Liverpool, and we'll talk about
Liverpool Burnley are coming up against the best side the Premier League's seen.
Yeah.
And to topple them, no distractions.
Liverpool, Chris, are going to rotate. We will not see the same side. I would be shocked if the same side we played against Everton starts in any of the two games that we've got coming up. There will be at least one player difference, two players different. We're going to play two Premier League teams this week, and it wouldn't shock me if there were we saw five or six changes across those two games. That's rotation. We're having to rotate in the fucking league because there are too many league games to put our full strength team out. If you then throw in an FA Cup game on four or five FA Cup games on top of
thankfully, that. Thankfully, though, it doesn't. Yeah, you're adding to your workload total, but it's still just two games a week for the most part, and that's something that is good,
but that means that you're
not having to rotate as much. You know, your players' fitness gets to a point. Now they get tired there, and that's the difficulty, isn't it? So yeah, I 100% agree with you, Paula. Yeah. You know, we want to beat Manchester City to the league title, then some things are going to need to be dropped in the FA Cup, unfortunately. It looks like that's the one right now.
Just listen to Jürgen. Jürgen says, was it 2 weeks ago now, he said, we're going into this run now. There is no more training. There is no more practising.
There's not even the right amount of recovery days.
Exactly. It's literally game, recovery, slight tactical work, game, recovery, and repeat. And that's what happens when you play two games a week. If Liverpool are capable, every time Liverpool have a week now, and we might see this because of the League Cup, because Man City are still obviously in that competition. I think that will pay dividends. I'm all in on Man City having a good run in that competition. We've got to just lie, cheat, and steal any marginal advantage we can in that way along the way. News in brief. Pulisic apparently prefers Liverpool over Chelsea. I saw this from the Evening Standard came out last night. Apparently Chelsea have spoken to Borussia Dortmund. We spoke about this last week or the week before, that Dortmund have apparently placed a 70 million valuation on him, even though his contract expires in 18 months' time. So it seems a lot of money. We said it was a ridiculous amount of money. Chelsea have apparently offered underneath that valuation, which is a sensible thing to do because he's not worth 70 million. It's encouraging that, though, isn't it? That if that is true, that we've already won a psychological battle there, if nothing else.
Absolutely, and there's reasons for it, isn't there? I think, obviously Pulisic has got a bit of history with Jürgen anyway, but what it comes down to and why I think Liverpool will win out on a lot of these players, if we're competing with teams in the league, maybe other than Manchester City, but even then we've done that twice in I think Ox as well as Van Dijk. Mm-hmm. I think I'm right in saying, Ox was Chelsea, wasn't it? And Arsenal offered them a new contract. Arsenal, that might be a bit of a struggle if we're going up against an Arsenal with an MRA in management. I don't think enough's been said about how good he's been this season. But Chelsea, for how good they are under Sarri, you looked at that as a young player. You know, yeah, they've been brilliant this season, but is he going to be there next season? Is he going to be there after a run of five bad games? Now, he looks good.
Yeah.
But how many times over the years have we seen Chelsea do well and then the manager go, and players fall by the wayside? Think of Willian.
Yeah,
Two years ago, he was the crux of that team and almost the best player in that side.
Using Willian as an example.
He's a bit par player.
Using Willian's example, Michy Batshuayi has just been on loan at Borussia Dortmund because he couldn't get in the Chelsea. And he goes to Dortmund and he's class. He was class last season for them. And he's there going to Pulis. Must be going to Pulis. Chelsea's shit, mate.
You don't want to go there. Your manager must stay there for a year and a half and then you're up shit creek.
Now
he's young enough that he could actually make something after his career after the back. Mm-hmm. But he'll be looking at the likes of Kevin De Bruyne and seeing what he'll have been treated like at Chelsea as well. He'll be looking at the Morata and the way the fans are and his struggles at Chelsea. And then you'll be looking at Jurgen Klopp.
Looking at the Champions League.
And he'll be looking at the Champions League and he'll be looking at the trophies that the teams have won and how long they've existed for, not just 15 years, and he'll be going to himself, well, Jürgen's going to be there for 4, 5, 6 years, he'll take me through my career, and he's making every player that signed for him better.
Yeah,
absolutely. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. But yeah, Viglietti Julian asked for our thoughts on the Wolves thing earlier, and Alex Chisholm said if Pulisic prefers a Liverpool move instead of Chelsea, is this essential business for us to get done in January?
Not January.
I don't think if Chelsea are bidding for him in January. We've talked about this. I think we're desperately lacking one more lad for that front three, or you know, front four. If we go down that way, essential's a funny word, but because I think we might be okay. But for me, whether it's him or not, if he's going to move in January, just get him in. I'd be banging.
I'm not sure. I think the word essential.
Mm-hmm.
It is a funny word.
Is there anyone
right?
essential for you in January?
I can give you a general thought on who could be essential, mm-hmm. not a player name.
Yeah.
If Aubameyang became available like last season, there's an essential signing. You know what I mean? A fella who's banging them, you know, a guy who's not going to take any time to get in and score goals.
Yeah.
That's essential for me if you're in a title fight.
Yeah.
If we fall away, Pulisic, yeah, why not take him?
Yeah.
But it's your Robin Van Persie. You know, he signed at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, yeah.
He's the guy who fires you to the title.
Yeah.
That is an essential signing for me. And that is something that I don't think Pulisic should be able to do for us right now. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But he's got to be able to come in, hit the ground running. And if you spend 30, 40 million on a guy you guarantee goals from in a title running, that's an essential signing.
Okay, interesting stuff. And Alex asks, what does this mean for Harry Wilson's future at Liverpool next season? We just don't know. We talked about this on the Final Word show and how we're getting the best out of these lads who are having disappointing loan spells. Harry Wilson's having an incredible loan spell at Derby. But you just don't, will he be able to then take the step up? We just won't know until we see him play at
Premier League level. Here's the thing. What Harry Wilson's doing can be replicated at the Premier League level.
Just banging it in.
It's not like he's coming up against defenders. Yeah. He's in 5 yards of space every time he's hitting the ball. I think, I don't know what it means for Harry Wilson's future. I don't know what Harry Wilson's future looks like.
Mm.
But I will be putting a fiver on him having Premier League goal of the season next year.
Yeah, go ahead. Why not? More on this kind of stuff, and more particularly the Pulisic stuff, will be on Reds News Roundup this week on the redmentv.com.
Nice pronunciation as well.
With all of that. We've done Everton. We're going to talk about Burnley in a moment. Before we do, though, I was lucky enough to speak to a Liverpool legend, and he is a Liverpool legend, John Barnes, the other week. The full interview is out on the redmentv.com. Really, really good. Really, really interesting stuff. And to whet your appetite, here's this. And what was it like then for you in that period? Because you went through that, the era of Liverpool being the best team in the country. And you changed as a player through that time as well. You went from the flying winger to more of like a midfielder.
Well, it wasn't a choice. Kind of course. When I ruptured my Achilles tendon, I couldn't run anymore. That's what I had to do. But it doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah.
I'm not about in terms of looking at the transition. Because it's not as if we won the league, all of a sudden we're not winning the league, and it's like, oh, we've gone from there to there. It's a slow process of us thinking we can still challenge, because come 92, 93, yes, we're going to win. It really took a year or two for me to then realise we're not going to be winning the league in this team that I'm in.
Yeah.
And that is more of a mindset of the team I'm in, the expectations, the atmosphere of, yes, we're still Liverpool, so we're a big club, we're a great club, but the demands of the players, not from the fans or from the staff, but the demands of players changing to then say, we are putting demands on ourselves to win. we put demands on ourselves to play well and to entertain, and we're going to score 5 goals. But if we lose, it doesn't, you know. Yeah. So that is when, you know, Liverpool probably went through a bit of a transitional period.
Yep. Go over to theredmentv.com, get that full interview. You can try it free for the first month. So if you want to get involved, try that again. We've milked that Jurgen Klopp interview for all it's worth, but it's still, what's really interesting about it, if you've not gotten on and you've been like, oh, I don't know whether it's worth it. There was a lot of Klopp stuff around in the summer. It's fascinating now that we've seen how we've progressed and how we've set up. He foreshadows so much of our season in an interview. He talks about defence being so important, and you can see how vital the defence has been, etc., etc. But yeah, the full Barnes interview as well. Again, we went to Rome to speak to Lucas Leiva a year ago, which is absolutely phenomenal. A couple of videos there. Loads of great stuff. And again, we are doing a final word, an hour of chat about every Liverpool game. We've got stats and tactics, all the Liverpool news covered, the Liverpool women team, everything around the league. If you want more general Premier League and football stuff, podcasts, videos, everything you could possibly ask for is there. So an absolutely astonishingly good time to sign up. And our Christmas special, if you've never heard of our subscriber Christmas specials before, they're a joy to behold. If you enjoy the stuff that we do, there's a lot of like outtakes and mad stuff that we do that doesn't make it out into public that makes it into those Christmas specials. So yeah, go and get involved on that. As I say, start your free month, see how you feel, and then it's just £5 a month thereafter. Chris Burnley, time to rotate.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, I, at time of recording today, Paul, we're a day away from the game. Andy Robertson's still struggling with a dead leg. Sadio Mane didn't train on Monday. There's two already. Mm-hmm. I'd already have been thinking, I'll be honest with you, I think Firmino's tired.
Yeah.
I think Firmino needs a bit of a break. You're looking at Dejan Lovren, didn't make the bench at the weekend. Don't know what that's about. Haven't heard anything that it's an injury or anything, so I'd expect him to come back in. I'm looking at Naby Keita, thinking, now's your time, mate. Yep. This is your time to shine. So there's 3, 4, 5 players that I'm thinking, now we need to get these lads integrated, otherwise we're going to be on our arse. And then you've got James Milner there, who, if he starts, I'm always happy.
Yeah, completely. I think this week is...
And Hendo, sorry, coming back off a ban.
Yeah. This is squad management week for me. Next week is so important. So very, very important. You've got Napoli and you've got Man United on the horizon. We just can't afford to we can't afford any slip-ups at any point. That's how finely poised this season is, of course. But, you know, your Champions League qualification hopes rely on Napoli. We've seen what a good side Napoli are firsthand. You know, you know, we can talk about that away game and say we were so close to getting a really important point away from home. But we were shite in that. We were utterly shite in that game. That was one of the worst Liverpool performances I've seen in yonks. A 1-0 flattered us, ultimately, in that game. So we're going to have to be at our absolute best. It's going to have to be one of those European nights for the ages, potentially. So you need everything full fit and firing for that. And then you've got just the business of playing your most hated rivals on the weekend after, when Mourinho's probably going to be doing everything in his power, every dark art known to man, because
he's got to keep his job, Paul.
Well, yeah, but he's got to keep his job. I think he's going to keep his job anyway, because they're fucked, aren't they? Just he's destined to keep him for the full season.
Bring back Giggs, eh?
Kevin Giggs, eh? But he will know, like him doing these little things, like going and sitting in the fans and all that kind of stuff. He's clinging on by, you know, tooth and nail, hanging on to that job. If he can engineer something that causes Liverpool to stumble in the title race, that will give Man United fans something. So we've got that to contend with. Burnley and fucking Bournemouth are just an annoyance to our horrible away games.
I want to put them to bed. I'm fed up with this. You know, how many times over the last year have we talked about that Burnley game where we had about 40 shots?
Mm.
You know what I mean? And how many times have we talked about the collapse at Bournemouth? This is it. We're rewriting those stories now. Yeah. We're rewriting the history books and saying, no, we're not bothered. We're not defined by those games anymore. Do you remember the time we went to Burnley and scored with a last-minute winner, followed by the time that we just went there and snotted them 3-0? Mm. And do you remember the time we just tore Bournemouth apart because Callum Wilson's pace doesn't do anything against Joe Gomez anymore? Yeah. Touch wood, you know what I mean? But this is what we've got to do now.
Yeah.
And if you want to win a title, these are the games that you have to win. It's that simple. Yeah. I mean... You know, we've been talking all season long, Paul, about how this is title winning form. There's no better title winning form than winning in the 96 minute against your derby rivals. And no one even mentioned title winning form in that game because they were too impassioned.
Too mental. Yeah, it was too mental.
You know what I mean? But we can do this. We can do it. We've got better squads than them. We've got better players than them. We've got a better manager than them.
Yeah.
So let's just go and do it.
I've been saying this now for weeks. the fact that Man City have got Chelsea at the weekend, that is that like the last great, the great white hope of the Premier League, apart from us going to the Etihad in the new year. You know, they've beaten everyone else. Everyone we've looked and gone, oh, this might be a team that causes them problems. This might be a team that does them. Liverpool, and this is why, again, I keep coming down to it. Liverpool need to kick into gear. Liverpool need to get back to being a scintillating attacking force. Yeah, they do. That can be next week, or it can be whatever. Liverpool need to, and I just want to make sure, I just want to actually get the timeline on this so I know exactly that I'm saying this right. So Man City, we play at 12:30 on Saturday, and Man City play at 5:30 on the Saturday, away at Chelsea. We will be, if we beat Burnley and we beat Bournemouth, we will be top of the league, and City will need to beat or draw with Chelsea to go back above us.
I'm sweating just thinking what to
call. Honestly, mate, it's ridiculous, and that's why I'm shitting it over this rotation thing. But we need to rotate. But do you, because it's all well and good going top if you then go and if you're done and you've blown yourself out and then you just go and spunk Christmas up the wall because you're not capable of getting back on the horse again. But that's how finally, boys, is, and that's why this game I don't know how to feel about this. The euphoria of the derby's dying down, and I'm looking at it and thinking, this is that little crack. This is that moment when, you know, you're a big Formula One fan and you're in Monaco or whatever, and you know it's just not an overtaking track at all. And the guy you've been following for the whole race from the fucking grid. And he just makes a little mistake. Maybe he just doesn't shift right going into a corner. And you're like, this is it. This is that moment where I nip in. And, you know, yes, it's a slog. And yes, you will. And yes, it might only be halfway through the total race. And you have to be perfect. But that might be your one opportunity to.
Great analogy.
Yeah.
Great analogy. Yeah. And you've just, Eminem said it right. It's one shot.
And now I feel physically ill.
you know what? The worst thing for me thinking about these games is that I'm not going to them.
Yeah.
Because I feel so much better about the football side when I know that I'm going to be there and singing and supporting and contributing. I feel so helpless. And I'm helpless anyway, really.
Please, if anyone's got a spare for Burnley, let us know, please. Because, yeah, I that's going to be torturous, absolutely torturous. And the fact that the commentary team are going to have that, you know, there'll be an agenda, and we'll probably, I don't even know if they're televised. We'll be televised on Saturday because it's the early. We even televised on Wednesday. Probably not. It's probably, it's Man United, Arsenal and Spurs, Tottenham. So they'll be
Spurs, Tottenham.
No,
fucking
sorry,
hell.
No. Spurs.
That's a big game.
Spurs, Tottenham.
They'll Spurs that one up. Lose that one, mate. Yeah,
Spurs are definitely losing
that. That's the first game that both teams have ever lost.
Spurs, Tottenham. Tottenham Hotspurs are playing Southampton, so yeah, Man United, Arsenal. Ugh. So yeah, we're going to have to find a fucking shit stream for the Burnley one again, which is just horrible. I hate that. It just makes the experience not enjoyable. I'm sorry if people were looking for really upbeat positivity. What I'll give to you is that this is what we're looking for.
We want it to be murderous from now until the end of the season.
But
because it means we're doing something right.
Yes.
It means we're there.
Yes, it means that it matters. It's horrible because it
we're
matters.
We're at the stage of the season where we're normally done. We're packing up and planning for next year. We're not now.
We're normally looking at going, we're ready to kick into top gear. And I remember, 13-14, we had that run of fixtures when we played. I think we played like Spurs, City, and another top team. I forget. Maybe it might have been Everton around that time, or whatever.
Big game, not top team.
Yeah, and we started to find a bit of form, and that's when we started. And that's we ended up being top at Christmas, and obviously that didn't work out for us. But you know, we should be excited about this. We should be looking at this, and we don't know. But Man City might well just go and prove that they are the quality that they are. But there should be no more, you know, if you had to pick teams, yes, I'd rather have these games at home. Two back-to-back home games to really, you know, stick it up City from behind, fine. Burnley and Bournemouth are teams that, look, you're dead right, they've both got two fixtures this week. They are who they are. Burnley have been in horrendous form since September. And Bournemouth have been really good this season, but also they've lost heavily at times, including to our two biggest rivals in the league. So if you had to take all emotion out of it, if this wasn't such a head fuck, and I wasn't so emotionally clawed into
on your
this,
coupon, it's a way win, away win.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I give you my biggest fear of this season? I've not ever verbalised this so far this season.
Spiders.
No, I love spiders.
Dogs.
I don't like dogs, but I'm not scared of them
anymore. You used to be terrified.
No, my ma's terrified. My ma's terrified. My biggest fear this season, Paul.
HIV.
It is now that. My second biggest fear this season, Paul, is that not only are Liverpool the only side to have been top at Christmas twice and not won the league, but Liverpool become the first side to go an entire season unbeaten and don't win the league.
But it's okay because City are going to lose at the Bridge and then it won't matter. Because at least Liverpool are not going to go unbeaten for the whole season. But no, it's not going to happen in the league. It's just not. The odds of that happening are staggering.
I'm going to guess in the top league in English football, it's about 1 in 125 based on it happening once in about 125 years. And yeah, the odds are much higher.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly. That's how many times it's happened. The odds of it happening are staggering, absolutely staggering. Which is why
about as far out as Leicester winning the league.
Well, yeah, probably more. To be fair, and that's why as much as Man United fans try to steal Arsenal's happiness when they talk about the Invincibles thing, they went unbeaten in the league all season. It was an amazing achievement.
Yeah, I'd still be bleating on about it. Absolutely still be bleating on about it. Not if we come second.
When the European Cup in 2004, when we were 3-0 down, we never shut up about it.
2005.
Yeah, 2004, 2005.
If you're going to pick one year, you go with the 2005.
Yeah, of course. Thanks, Chris. I made a mistake. Brilliant. You've saved the comment section there, but not the algorithm. So it is a fear.
You nearly had the duck egg.
We're going to lose games.
For the algorithm!
But let's hope that let's hope the City lose some games as well, and then it won't matter. And it can just be a normal. Let this be a normal title race. Just let it be a normal title race when it's possible to lose games of football. Yeah. That'd be lovely. Yeah. I can't. But if Liverpool are to win the league, it is going to have to, after this wait and all the heartbreak along the way, it's going to have to be like this, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, mate.
So it is what it is. Couple of quick questions before we get out. Scott Lewis, thoughts on the Andy Tate Christmas song?
It's dog shit, and any long time listeners to the podcast will remember the segment "Get in the Bin." I would retitle that segment for 1 week and say "Get in landfill."
Get in the tip.
It's pretty much as bad as you're getting.
I've met Andy Tate once, I think. He was at the footy tournament we did for Ball Street a year or so ago. He's a nice fellow. I've got no ill feelings.
I'm not judging him. I'm judging the song.
Yeah, it is what it is.
It's forced.
Yeah.
It's very forced. It's not a well shot video.
It's fine. It's all fine. It's just,
it's shit.
It's shit.
I've got a tweet from Goldbridge here about it. I think this is quite interesting. Say what you like about me, but I don't believe in Jose Outposters, banners, protests. And I certainly don't believe in releasing songs trying to get our manager out. Vote with your feet and they'll go to the games. Dear fan camp, but let's try and stay classy, for God's sakes.
He's such a reasonable human being, isn't he, Mark Goldbridge?
He seems it now.
Personally, I've never had a problem with Mark Goldbridge at all. I think he's been a lovely fellow when I've chatted to him. It doesn't tally up with the stuff that I've seen on the internet. But Man United online culture is so weird, and Arsenal online culture is so weird. And I wonder if people look at all of our the Liverpool stuff, they look at us and they look at the rap and they look at Boss Night and they look at this is Anfield and the Anfield Index and all those kind of things. And I wonder if they go, this is all a bit, we're weird. I much prefer how we all do things to how they all do things. Kia Nolan, if you could only bring one of them back to help us win the title this season, would you choose Gerrard or Rush? They would be in their top form.
Stevie.
Ian Rush. Because we need, if we,
Ian, you want Rush, Salah back on there?
Well, Ian Rush scored 50 goals in a season for Liverpool, basically. That is exact. If we play this formation, Ian Rush would be the perfect centre forward for a 4-2-3-1. as well, without a doubt in the world. Yes, Gerrard, yeah, he's class. I'm not sure that
mate,
we...
I've got another reason, rather than the
just
class.
So he wins the title.
Redemption.
Yeah. Good. Solid. Yeah, I think... Yeah, to be fair, the answer's either. But yeah, I think for me, that, and I think Gerrard, look, no Liverpool side's ever going to be worse for having a prime Steven Gerrard in it. And you can even choose what that means by prime Steven Gerrard. You know what I mean? Because you can pick like three eras. You can pick three eras of Gerrard there. But the correct answer is Istanbul era. Gerrard is 2004 to 2006, where he was just.
The best midfielder in the world.
Every blade of grass on the pitch at all times. But, you know what, would you rather have 04-05 Gerrard or 08-09 Gerrard for this team?
04-05.
Interesting. Because now when I thought about it, I thought having that player who can play in like a 10 and burst into the box means that you could go back to having
your front three,
Firmino as a centre forward in a 4-2-3-1, and have Gerrard support. I just
think we're massively missing a box to box midfielder at the moment.
I think we've got it.
I think maybe we do.
I think we'll see. I think it'll be Naby,
but right now there's no evidence of it. True. That's the problem.
True enough. Brilliant stuff. Thanks everyone for the questions. We did have one from Philip Ryan as well. As you said, how about Sturridge, Origi and Shaqiri to start up front against Burnley, with Fabinho's defensive mid, Keita and Gini just ahead of him, Gomez and Virgil at the back. Discuss. You're welcome. We won't, but you are welcome. Thank you very much. We're doing a Q&A with your questions. It's coming up on the RedmenTV.com.
And we have to answer them. Not like that one.
Soz Ryan. Questions coming from the regular Paul James.
His name's Philip.
If we could speak.
His name was Philip.
Whatever. We could speak every language in the world or speak to animals, what would we choose? Going to pick a current Liverpool 11, but players not in their natural positions. What things the footballers do that baffle or confuse us. Something on rule infringements, taking and dropping out of Europe, which we've just already really covered in this podcast in depth and detail. And how much would you pay for the feeling you got when Origi scored so that we could feel it whenever you wanted? Go over to RedmenTV.com, sign up, get your free month. Get that, and of course the John Barnes interview, and of course all the other incredible content that we do there, and have a very merry festive period on the RedmenTV.com.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, Evan.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.